Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As soon as our kids return to school after the holiday break, we need to have every single school in America immediately deploy a protection program proven to work. And by that, I mean armed security.
NRA leader Wayne LaPierre, who even got called a gun nut and a loon by Rupert Murdoch's New York Post on the front page on Saturday. Did you see that? Wayne LaPierre from his statement last Friday. Now here's one relevant reaction to his proposal to put an armed guard in every school. It comes from Greg Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237, which represents all the New York City public school safety agents. Hello, Mr. Floyd. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me. And before I begin, I want to just say happy holidays to everyone. And I also want to send my condolences out to everyone in Connecticut over this tragedy that we're speaking about right now.
Absolutely. And I was very sad to linger on that point before we get to the issues yesterday, thinking about Newtown and the horrible experience that those families must be going through right now. I knew even from the day the incident happened, I was thinking that, among other things, Christmas is broken for these families, maybe forever in most of these cases.
Forever, yes. It's so close to the holidays.
So close to the holidays.
And everyone's going to remember this.
You have anniversary grief.
Yes.
And anniversary grief over your 6 or 7 year old child. I mean, it's just broken.
It's unthinkable.
I can't imagine what was going on in some of the churches yesterday. What could the priests or pastors or ministers or anybody, you know, even say? My heart goes out to anybody, as we've said a million times in the last few weeks. But again, today, thinking about Christmas yesterday, who are close to those losses. But now let's talk about the policy response to some of this, and not to let, you know, the NRA hijack the agenda and distract us from some of the other discussions that need to take place with respect to gun laws. But what is a school safety agent in New York City? What do they do? And are they currently armed?
Our school safety agents are not armed. And what they currently do is they protect our children. Crime is going down steadily over the last 10 years with our school safety agents. We had an incident in 2008, June of 2008, where an armed robber came into the schools and hid in the bathroom in Brooklyn. And our school safety agents successfully evacuated that school so the New York City Police Department can go in and catch the perpetrator in a school with no children. Our school safety agents do not get the credit for the jobs that they do each and every day. They are dedicated men and women, and they do a tremendous job. And they come under a lot of criticism, but they never get the credit that they deserve. And it's times like this that remind us how valuable they are.
Spoken like a dedicated union leader. Would you like to see them armed? What's your reaction to Wayne LaPierre's proposal?
My reaction to Wayne LaPierre's proposal is that he is having us talk about everything else instead of talking about what we need to talk about, and that's gun control. No one who is not a law enforcement personnel or a military personnel should have access to assault weapons. You cannot tell me that you need an assault weapon to go hunting, because anything that you kill would be so badly damaged you could not eat it. So I don't buy the argument that we need hundreds and hundreds of rounds of ammunition to walk around with, hundreds and hundreds of ammunition in our homes. If someone wants to own a handgun legally, that's a different subject. But to have assault weapons available, and by the way, there are 3 million assault weapons, even if we ban assault weapons now, that are still available right now. So,
and because of that, yeah, some people would make the case that even if you ban assault weapons and the extended capacity clips and improve the background checks for the future, there are so many, not just assault weapons, but just regular handguns around. And, you know, people are occasionally going to go off in one way or another and come into the school somewhere and try to do something like I did in Newtown. And so Wayne LaPierre says, under these circumstances, better to have a good guy who can shoot the bad guy, because it's going to happen once in a while.
It's going to happen once in a while everywhere, not just our schools. But we have to start somewhere. And we have to live with the fact that we tried to do something. Right now, he would have us do nothing. What happened last year in the movie theater when Batman came out? We didn't learn from that. We didn't learn from Columbine. We didn't learn from Virginia Tech. We never start the conversation, and we never deal with the problem.
But I'm asking a different question. Whether or not new gun laws take effect, there are still so many guns out there. There are still going to be some of these incidents. Why would you not rather have your members who are trained by the NYPD, we should say, your members, the school security agents, don't report to the education department. You're NYPD, right?
Yes.
Why would you not rather have these police department employees armed rather than unarmed?
That's a decision for the New York City Police Department and New York City to make. It's not whether I would rather have them armed or not. I would not want to give in to the NRA to have them have their way, and we not focus on talking about gun restrictions. New York State and New York City have some of the toughest gun laws in the nation. And I could say that's why we don't see the kind of carnage that we see in other states and cities here in New York. But yes, we do have gun violence. Yes, we do have proliferation of gangs. But the guns aren't as readily available. The guns that come into New York City from other states. We need universal gun laws so that we could be protected. Now, we talk about handguns owned by gun owners. That's a different subject. We're talking about people being able to access guns without any control, without any background checks, without any psychological examinations. We need to have that conversation, because no matter what you do in our schools, if you have somebody coming in with hundreds and hundreds of rounds of ammunition and they kill the person who's supposed to protect our children, what happens then?
First bullet goes to the guard, in other words.
Yes.
In that scenario. Listeners, we can take a few phone calls for Greg Floyd, the president of Teamsters Local 237, which represents these unarmed NYPD employees who are the school safety agents in the New York City public schools. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And I'm going to take a phone call right now with, I guess, what's going to be an international comparison. John in Piscataway is originally from Sao Paulo in Brazil. John, thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, Brian. Happy holidays.
And to you, John. Thank you.
Okay. I'm from Sao Paulo in Brazil. It's a very violent city. And we have very strict gun laws for very good reasons. The public allowed that to go through in our Senate, in a federal level, just because the level of violence we go through every day is terrible. It's impossible to deal with. And our schools, they are patrolled by state police. They don't patrol inside the schools all the time, but they do set up a perimeter. And if you're within a certain distance of the school, you better have a reason for it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Greg Floyd, I wonder if you think there's a difference in the response that's needed in an urban school district like New York City versus a suburban area like Newtown or somewhere. Because you deal with a different kind of violence. Your members deal with a different kind of violence or potential violence on a day-to-day basis. The urban setting where handguns are not rare, some of the neighborhoods in the city anyway have a proliferation of handguns. There is street violence. Teenagers are afraid of each other. They're afraid of gangs. And the risk is one-on-one violence and more likely among people who know each other. They're not very afraid of that in the suburbs. They're more afraid of something like happened in Newtown, the, you know, random outsider who might come in to do a school shooting, a mass shooting. I wonder how if you agree with my interpretation of the difference and how that changes your mission after hearing about something like Newtown.
It doesn't change our mission. It makes us more alert. It makes more cognizant. And what we have to remember, there's an organization out there that was advocating that we have less school security, less metal detectors, or elimination of metal detectors. Once again, I have to say our school safety agents do a tremendous job. They do find weapons, unfortunately, and they do find handguns, unfortunately. And there are occasionally shootings outside of the schools, like you said, by teenagers. But we must continue to focus on the problem. The problem is we need to take the weapons out of the hands of those who should not have them, because guns do kill people in the wrong hands. And we have to focus on that. And we can never, never, never let that conversation be distracted or sidetracked. We can't get away from the fact that no matter what we do with security, if you have handguns in the hands of the wrong people, bad things will happen.
Edward in Jamaica, Queens. You're on WNYC. Hi, Edward.
Yeah, how you doing? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Ed.
Basically, pertaining to the initial topic as far as arming security guards or arming school safety personnel, in that environment, I feel it's a bad idea. I mean, as a parent, you know, it's difficult to deal with children, and things can happen. People can lose their tempers. If you gentlemen remember, there was an armed personnel at Columbine, and he did not use his gun for fear of hitting someone accidentally. And there was an armed person when Gabrielle Giffords was shot, and he did not also use his gun for fear of hitting someone accidentally.
And the mall in Portland the other week, same thing.
Same thing. So it's a very difficult practice. And I was military personnel for some time, mm-hmm. and to use a gun is a difficult thing. It takes a lot of training. It takes a presence of mind. You have to have the ability to aim properly and to use discretion at times. And it's not for every individual, especially in a school type of environment. There's a myriad of things that can be done as far as buzzer locks, as far as proper ID checks, challenging people that enter the school, having more money put towards that type of secure measures as opposed to arming people. I believe that's a ridiculous idea. But the fundamental problem is not only gun control, but how we approach mental health in this country and how many of these people slip through the cracks. Because the bottom line is, no matter how much regulation you have on guns, if someone wants to do something, they're going to do it.
Right.
And they can find a way to do it. So we need to concentrate on gun control, I agree. But we also need to concentrate a lot on psychotropic drugs, how they affect people, on the actual stigma that is still attached to mental health in this country, and how we can more readily catch these people before they reach crisis point.
Edward, thank you very much. And this might be, for one thing, a little bit out of your area, Greg, but might be a point of common ground between liberals and conservatives. Wayne LaPierre, in his statement, was talking about the lack of background checks for people's mental health histories. The states have them, and they're not reporting them into the registry in many cases. Like, New York does a good job of that. New Jersey doesn't do a good job of that. On the other hand, the gun control advocates say, NRA, let's do that, but then let's make sure we close the background check loopholes so you don't have 40% of the gun purchases not require a background check at all because they're at gun shows or something like that. But it sounds like there is some confluence on getting it more together with respect to people who are supposed to be reported under the law as ineligible for guns because of certain mental health histories.
Well, I did mention psychologicals, because every police officer gets a psychological exam. Anybody employed by any organization in law enforcement will have a psychological exam before they are issued a firearm and extensive training. The same thing should apply for everyone. Why should you train and have police officers go through psychological testing and then you hand out handguns to everyone? It shouldn't be. So I agree with the caller, Edward.
Tim in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Tim.
Hi, how are you? Great show. Thank you for coming on. Good conversation.
Thank you.
I'm a father with a kid in Clinton Middle School, and I have regularly walked outside of that school and seen people who have wanted to get in who have scared the hell out of me. And I have always been incredibly grateful we have a guard in that school. I'm not even sure if they're armed. But what I do know is that they are neighborhood because they're always in that school, whatever it is, school system police officer. She knows everybody who comes in there. My problem comes from the lethality of guns themselves and the point just made about the Columbine guard who didn't want to shoot because he's afraid of hurting someone.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know that my guard that is in that school is trained in non-lethal means of protecting children and defending the school way before they're trained to use a gun.
Wouldn't have been very effective against Adam Lanza, though, right?
Completely, and I understand that. But maybe a taser would have done something.
Tim, thank you. What about a taser as opposed to an actual weapon? Whether it's for your members or whether it's for teachers or principals who want to get trained, as the NRA was also proposing?
That has to be a decision made by the policymakers. Because before you give any kind of weapon to a person, you have to know the ramifications of that. And you know something? You don't want the risk of a child being tased because, you know, you never know what happens with those things. So I would not fly off the handle and try to use this tragedy in the way it should be used. We must focus on gun control. We must focus on getting those assault weapons out of the hands of individuals who should not have them. And remember, Andrew, the person who committed this heinous crime, the guns belonged to his mother. His mother was the one who introduced him to these weapons. And I don't know...
As a legal gun owner.
As a legal gun owner. But we don't know her psychological background because it's something about the mother that would introduce her child to weapons like this.
All right. We're going to leave it there except for one additional question. I read in the fall of last year that you were publicly mulling a run for mayor next year because none of the Democrats generally mentioned are sufficiently for the working people of New York. I haven't heard your name mentioned recently, so have you decided not to run?
Yes, Brian. We closed our campaign at the beginning of this year. And there are several candidates that are running now. And the issues that support working people have come up. There were several conversations I had with the candidates.
Are you leaning toward endorsing anyone?
At this moment, no. We're still listening to our candidates running. And you know something? There are more candidates out there that will be running. So we will be taking a look at each and every one of them.
All right. My guest has been Greg Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237, which represents the New York City Public School Safety Agents. Thank you very much for adding your voice to this important conversation.
Thank you, Brian.